Hello and welcome to Wrestling Talk 102. I'm your host, Phil Stevens. Hope everyone is having a fantastic day. This is my first episode of Wrestling Talk 102. And my thought is to at least have two shows per week, talking about WWE, which includes NXT, AEW, and also Impact Wrestling, which not a lot of people follow, but they have a lot of good talent there, and I really enjoy watching Impact Wrestling, so I'm going to include them in this too. I'm going to do a lot of show analysis, pay-per-view analysis. Every so often I'll do a match to review, some of my favorites. So, that's my plan right now as far as this podcast goes. We had a very busy week in the past. Let's see, since last Wednesday, we had AEW Dynamite, which was, as always, a fantastic show. AEW is just absolutely killing it right now with their shows on a weekly basis. We had a two-night NXT TakeOver event that was also just... it wasn't my favorite TakeOver by any means. I've definitely seen a lot better takeovers. So, other than that, it did what it was supposed to do. But we'll get more into that as well. Then we also had a two-night WrestleMania event, and I'll cover a little bit of the things that happened on SmackDown that usually, that they said coincided with WrestleMania, because they called it WrestleMania SmackDown. So it was almost like they stretched it into three events. So, and then I'll dive into this week's Raw, which was a couple days ago, and then also into last night's NXT for their debut on Tuesday night. Some people say they ran away from AEW, but I don't believe that's the case. And then I also, I'm going to talk a little bit about Broken Skull Sessions episode, which I thought was wonderful. And it was with Chris Jericho from All Elite Wrestling. It blew my mind that they made this happen, but props to WWE and AEW for giving us this. It was a fantastic interview, and I'll touch on my thoughts and some points on it. So with that, let's get into what we saw on SmackDown this last Friday. I'm just going to talk about the two things that were really... that really coincided with WrestleMania. The first one was the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And then also there was a four-way SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. We can start with that, actually. We had the Street Profits, who were actually on the WrestleMania card last year. We had them going against... the Alpha Academy with Chad Gable, one of my favorite wrestlers, and a newly heel Otis. Otis, I think, is killing it as a heel right now, kind of being the lackey of Gable. excuse me. We also had, Rey Mysterio and Dominic. Don't even get me started on Dominic. I think he's terrible. I don't think he deserved what he got as far as a treatment to come up to the main roster very quick. He didn't spend any time in NXT. I mean, that's neither, here nor there. They're just trying to push this kid on us. He doesn't do anything for me. Maybe it's the fact that he's not wearing a mask. I don't know. It's just not my thing. And then we also had the Dirty Dogs, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, or Bobby Roode, whatever they're calling him now. They've gone back and forth several times on what they're going to call him. But also another one of my favorite wrestlers and favorite personalities, going back to his days in Impact or TNA, whatever you want to call it. So, with that match, we ended up seeing the Dirty Dogs retain their tag team championships, which I thought was absolutely the right call. They haven't really had any sort of a credible tag title run so far. And taking the titles off of them and putting it on someone else, I feel like would have really hurt them as a tag team. And I just got to say, it is such a crime that Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode were not on the actual WrestleMania pay-per-view. Same with the Street Profits. I know Gable and Otis, they're not quite there yet to where they can say, oh yeah, we're going to put these guys on WrestleMania. But I mean, I still do love their work. Like I said, Chad Gable's one of my favorite performers. If he just had a little bit more size, I think he'd be able to do a lot more and get a bigger push. Mysterio, Rey, I mean, he probably should have been on WrestleMania. Not his son though. Personally, I think his son belongs down in NXT to learn a little bit more, or needs to be on Main Event, one of the two. But yeah, Dirty Dogs retain in what was a fun little sprint match. So, whoever's going to be the next contenders for that, hopefully Street Profits stick around in the tag title scene. Also, I just really don't know if I buy Alpha Academy as a real tag team, though. I think they need to have them do single stuff with the occasional tag. I don't know. I need to see more out of them in singles action, and I think that's where they're going to thrive. Both of them. I think Otis has really improved. He's doing great work as a heel right now, but he's just not quite there to where he could make it onto the main card. But, that's what the next year is for. I mean, they call after WrestleMania a new season. And so, we generally tend to get a reboot right after WrestleMania. Usually we see some NXT call-ups. Usually we see some people that we had forgotten were on the roster that maybe have been on the injured list come around. But we'll have to wait till this week's SmackDown to find out about that. We also had that night Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which has really lost any meaning to me ever since Cesaro won it the first year. None of them have been anywhere near that cool. I guess you can make an argument for, I believe it was, WrestleMania 31. The crowd really wanted to see Damian Sandow win. But he got tossed out. I believe it was by Big Show who eventually won it. But since then, I mean, we've had who? King Corbin, I want to say Matt Hardy, and gosh, I can't even remember who won the other two. Mojo Rawley won one of them, and man, whoever won it last year, Braun Strowman won it. It just doesn't mean anything. It's not doing anything for any of these characters. They're not walking around with this Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal trophy. For God's sakes, the thing is huge. But I mean, they want to keep it on, you know, keep it as a part of, keep it a part of WrestleMania. So we got it, on the SmackDown before, which, you know, maybe they could have just put it on the pre-show before WrestleMania. Anyway, we saw, not a lot of guys that were in it that I think could really win. You know, you had, the Lucha Dragons in there, or not the Lucha Dragons, sorry, Lucha House Party. Lucha Dragons was Kalisto and Sin Cara. We had Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, formerly of the Hurt Business. I believe I saw Humberto Carrillo in there. Angel Garza, who I thought should have won the thing. That guy just needs a push. He's a fantastic worker. One of my favorites, actually. So eventually I'll, you know, maybe in a future broadcast, I'll get deep into talking about Angel Garza and why I like him as a performer. See, King Corbin was in there, if I didn't say him already. You know, Jey Uso, who ended up winning it. Shinsuke Nakamura. That's just a, you know, some of the names that were in there. And it was just, you know, again, really underwhelming. I guess Mace and T-Bar were in there because that's still a thing. I was really expecting when I was watching it, really expecting them to just be out of their masks, doing their own thing. Him going, you know, Dijakovic going back to being Dijakovic and doing Dijakovic things, which is killing it. When he's on TV in matches. I mean, he's a fantastic performer, and they slapped him in this stupid gimmick. Dio Madden, or I think he's Mace. You know, his big thing he ever did was get the shit beat out of him by Brock Lesnar on a Raw episode. So when I guess back when he was commentating. So, you know, those guys being in there, I believe they both got tossed by Corbin, I believe. which, you know, losing to Corbin in any form this day and age is just, it's got to be degrading. The guy has zero charisma, and I just don't see why they keep shoving Corbin down our throats, but that's the WWE we live in until Vince is gone, unfortunately. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, Jey Uso ended up winning. So his name will go on the trophy, and I doubt he'll be there defending it next year. Let's get off of SmackDown, and let's just jump into WrestleMania since we're on the topic of WrestleMania, and I'll talk about the NXT TakeOver afterwards. WrestleMania 37 Night 1, we had the weather delay. You know, they were trying to keep things on schedule, trying to keep people on TV, so the producers were running around getting anybody they could to do a promo for 1 to 2 minutes on screen. While they're waiting for the weather to pass. Eventually it did. So, you know, props to WWE for, you know, working on the fly like that. Then we had, you know, Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan, the hosts or the co-hosts of WrestleMania 37. And I don't understand why we are still having WrestleMania hosts or co-hosts. It does nothing for the show. I believe the only one or the only host that really did anything was The Rock. I mean, he got involved in the main event of WrestleMania 27. You can make an argument for the New Day, as they came out and fooled everyone thinking that they were going to be in the, tag team title ladder match. And it ended up being, the return of the Hardy Boys. So you could say that they did something with it, but I mean, Hogan and Titus were never going to do anything. Titus does fantastic work behind the scenes, works with charities, all sorts of things. You know, props to that guy. But, I mean, on the mic and stuff, he's just, it's just not pretty. He doesn't need to be on my TV. It just doesn't do anything for me. You know, even when he was Titus Worldwide, they tried to do something with him, excuse me, in Apollo Crews. Again, never did anything for me. Primetime players, they were kind of fun, especially when they won the tag titles. But, you know, they had a short run, and Fred Roser, or Roser, or R-O-S-S-E-R, Fred Roser, or Rosser, he is gone now. That used to be Darren Young. So, yeah, Titus is really the one that's, you know, kind of left there and still trying to do his thing, but he's really not doing anything on TV these days, other than getting beat down by the Hurt Business backstage, or the former Hurt Business, because they are no longer a stable, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, a little bit once we start covering Raw. And Hulk Hogan, stop bringing him back, please. I'm tired of Hulk Hogan. He doesn't do anything anymore. He's used for a, you know, for a cheap pop. And that's about it. But I think people are still getting tired of him. He doesn't have the appeal that he had back in 2002 when he came back and faced The Rock at WrestleMania 18, when the crowd was super hot. Or, you know, in 2002, 2003, 2005. I mean, fans, you know, people were still wanting to see him on their TV back then. Ever since the racial stuff, though, I don't think anybody really wants to see him. I don't think anybody cares. But WWE is going to keep throwing him in our face. So, you know, enjoy Hulk Hogan while he's around, I guess. But yeah, you know, then they started throwing out Bailey, or excuse me, throwing Bailey in with them just to kind of interrupt all their stuff. That's cool. Bailey should have been on the card. I don't know if she's injured. I did not look that up. But she has been one of the MVPs of SmackDown for the past year, including through the pandemic. I have no idea why she is not, or why she was not on the card at all. She was just used as comedy fodder. So, hopefully we'll see more Bailey in the ring here in the coming months, and as WWE shows get a reboot. So anyway, yeah, let's get to the first match that was on night one of WrestleMania. We had Lashley and McIntyre, Kurt and Jerkin, as they say in the business. We also say it's best to either come on first or last. First usually gets some of the biggest pops of the night. Last is what people stay for, what keeps people around. Usually the biggest spectacle that the company's pushing. I feel insulted for Lashley and Drew McIntyre that they were put on first. I thought that should have gone to Cesaro and Seth Rollins, which match I will review here in just a few minutes. But, I mean, it was a big, big hoss fight like we thought it was going to be. Big, meaty men slapping meat is what I like to say when it comes to those big guys. It was just, you know, I mean, and that saying is just exactly what probably half of the match was. I did like him hitting, you know, Drew hitting a trio of Future Shock DDTs, you know, which used to be his finisher, and seeing Lashley kick out, I thought that was cool. But, you know, dang it, I thought this was going to be Drew's moment this year. But maybe, you know what, they're holding it out for 38 in Dallas. Who knows, though? You know, the guy just, you know, only carried them through a pandemic. But, you know, they want to push Mr. Lashley right now, and I just can't get behind Lashley personally. I find him boring. He's just a big guy, big muscles. Is he good in the ring? Sure. You know, I'm sure he can deliver a 3 to 3.5 star match pretty easily, but I don't think he's going to deliver anything over that as long as he's in the world title scene, as he's obviously champion right now. And to my point, he did win the match by apparently passing out Drew McIntyre in the Hurt Lock, which, I mean, a full Nelson, I'm just not a full Nelson believer. I used to like it on the Warlord back in the day, but that's when I was younger and thought things were a lot cooler. I think Lashley could have a whole lot better moveset, and maybe they need to do that. Maybe they need to, you know, implement, you know, better moves, more powerful moves. I think he could end matches with that huge spine buster he throws. I don't know why they don't do that. I mean, I don't know the last time I saw a spine buster end a match, but I can tell you it's been a while. But I mean, going back to it, MVP got involved, led to Drew missing the Claymore, which was kind of stupid to see. It didn't really flow too well on the screen, I didn't think. So, but I mean, it was a surprising result, and that's, I believe, what WrestleMania is all about. Me personally, I'd give it about 3.25 stars out of 5. That's right, I'm going to do the Meltzer rating. You know what's funny? I just got to go off here in just a minute. This Meltzer rating for star ratings, the way he does it, I feel, is such a joke. There's a lot of matches in the past that should be 5-star wrestling matches and that aren't. And there's some that are that really shouldn't be. I know Meltzer is an AEW fanboy. I love AEW too. But some of the stuff that he has rated 5 stars in AEW is, I don't know, it blows my mind. Just a few examples for me of stuff he hasn't rated 5 stars. Savage Steamboat from WrestleMania 3. Let's see, what else? Some of the TakeOver main events that have been absolutely killer. I want to say a Ciampa Gargano match was one of them. Oh gosh, like those Revival versus DIY matches should have gotten 5 stars in my opinion. Let's see, there should be a Royal Rumble that's been given 5 stars, which would have been 1992, where Ric Flair went didn't technically go the distance, but won from number 3. Best Rumble ever in my mind. You know, those are just a few examples. I think the guy needs to go back and watch a few matches. So, or rewatch them just to see if he can add some more matches to that list, because, just as an example of a match that I don't believe should have been 5 stars was that it was a parking lot fight between Best Friends and Santana and Ortiz. I'm a huge Best Friends guy. I love the Best Friends. I love that stable. But a parking lot brawl to me is not a 5-star wrestling match. Like, sorry, but anyway, tomato tomato, I guess. So let's go to that second match, which was a big pile of shit at the beginning of the show for WrestleMania 2, or sorry, for WrestleMania 37. The second match was the number one contenders tag team turmoil women's match. Billy Kay and Carmella versus Lana and Naomi versus Natalya and Tamina versus the Riot Squad versus Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. First off, God bless Lana. She tries so hard. This thing, it went 14 minutes. Thank God it didn't go any longer. Very beginning, we all had a laugh when Mandy Rose slipped walking down the entranceway. Shit happens. WWE, like, get over it. And I'm sad to say that now they're turning this whole thing into a storyline with involving Nia Jax. So, but I'll get into that when we review Raw. Anyway, the team of Natalya and Tamina ended up pulling out the victory. Lana and Naomi getting eliminated first blew my mind with how much they've thrown Lana into our face and try to make her come off as a competent wrestler, which I have to admit, she is getting better. I really think she's getting better, and it's still going to take a lot of time, though. Rome wasn't built in a day, unfortunately, when it comes to Lana. Naomi does not do anything for me, but she is a former women's champion, and it just kind of blew my mind that they got eliminated by Billie Kay and Carmella. They seem to have zero plans for Billie Kay other than walking around giving out her resume. Carmella, who has my favorite entrance in WWE right now, that silhouette of her dancing, it's just awesome. I love it. I'm not a huge fan of her on the mic, but I think she has a fantastic entrance. So they eliminated Lana and Naomi, and then I believe Mandy Rose the Riot Squad was next, and they ended up taking out Billie Kay and Carmella. Then Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke came out. I might have gotten this a little bit backwards here. The Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke came out, and Riot Squad got them too, only for Natalya and Tamina to come in and eventually win. I thought the decision to have Natty and Tamina win is a really bad call. What has Tamina ever done for us? When we get into night two of WrestleMania, we'll learn that apparently Florida loves Tamina. But we'll talk about that later. But I don't think there was anyone on earth that was watching WrestleMania that wanted Tamina and Natalya versus Nia and Shayna Baszler. I don't think there was a person. That match got one star from me. That's pretty much for showing up and actually wrestling. I mean, it didn't do anything, and it's just kind of pushing the women's division even further back than what it is. Thank God we have a few people that can actually go, though. Then we had Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. This was Cesaro's first ever singles match at WrestleMania. Blows my mind. He's been around since, I believe, 2011 or 12. I can't remember exactly when he debuted. It was either the summer of 11 or summer of 12. It was probably the summer of 12 because I know he wasn't there long before he became United States champion. This would have benefited so much from more time. The weather delay, I think, really got its first victim here, or its first victims. Cesaro and Seth Rollins could have gone out there and tore the house down. Seth Rollins has come back from becoming a first-time dad. Cesaro, they had been touting him as the hottest wrestler on SmackDown for the past few months, and he really has been. After what happened in Elimination Chamber, though, with his early elimination, felt like they kind of pulled the plug on him. So I think they're kind of maybe trying to make it up to him here. he did, you know, he did his whole thing, brought back the UFO spin, which I think is sick. Just an awesome move. Oh, using no hands for an airplane spin pretty much. Or like up in a torture rack position. Then, you know, he got his swings in. But, you know, here's the funny thing. Wasn't Cesaro back in like 2014? I want to say 2013, 2014. Wasn't he in the ring doing like 50 revolutions on guys with the swing? I mean, like when Michael Cole on SmackDown says, an all-time record of 23 swings or 22 swings. Like, I've seen videos of the guy doing what was touted as 100, but I think in reality it was probably about 85 because wrestling fans can't count. But going back and like watching this, I mean, I don't even know if it was 23 on this, but let the guy go. It's WrestleMania, for God's sakes. Let him do what he wants to do out there. But anyway, Cesaro won with the neutralizer. I don't know if it's a WrestleMania moment per se. I still think his WrestleMania moment is when he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania 30. But hopefully this gets something good going for Cesaro, this win. And Seth Rollins, he can pretty much go do whatever he wants because he's a great performer. He's good on the mic. Who knows what they have going for him next. Let's see here. We had a little bit of a promo with Ziggler and Rude, who, like I said, should have been on the card and not on WrestleMania SmackDown. But they give a great promo. I love the Dirty Dogs tag team. Next year, they got to be on WrestleMania. They owe that at least to Ziggler, for crying out loud. Rude, sure, they owe it to him, I think, too. But yeah, no, just a shame that they were not on the main show. Next. Oh, actually, wait. I give Cesaro Seth Rollins 4 stars. For the time they got, which was a little over 11 minutes, and just being able to go out there and do their things and keep people invested. I thought that it was a great showing for Cesaro and Seth Rollins. So the next match, Raw Tag Team Championship, saw The New Day, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston going against AJ Styles and the debuting Omos, who, when he came down, was fully dressed still. And I think everyone got confused. I was certainly confused. My wife was confused. Why is this guy walking down in street clothes? Is he actually going to wrestle, or is AJ going to introduce somebody else? Well, unfortunately, we got the first thing. Big man does big man things. Dude's not agile at all. Rumors were that him and a bunch of the bigger guys got sent back to the performance center to work on their moves. I remember Otis being one of those. Almost. Gosh, there was somebody else that was like doing really, really well. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But someone was doing really, really well and then got pushed back to go with them. And it was kind of a shock to everybody. I might think of it later. Or think of the person later. AJ pretty much handled all the handled all the heavy lifting in this match. I'm sure they didn't want to make this Omos look bad. I don't see Omos being anything big, like a, you know, world champion or anything. I'm sure that's what Vince wants, though. So, you know, it's his company. Do whatever you want, I guess. AJ got isolated by the baby faces. You know, he finally got the hot tag in and came in and just did those stereotypical big man moves. Ended with the great Khali's old finisher, the tree slam. Not the vice grip, the tree slam. He did use a tree slam. If anyone wants to argue with me, let me know. So anyway, they Omos and AJ, new tag champs, won in just under 10 minutes. I've seen some reviews on the match. I don't agree with any of them. 3 stars, I think, is a stretch. I'd probably give it 2¾ stars, and that's all due to Kofi, Xavier, and AJ. Has nothing to do with Omos. Omos, I think, drug the whole match down probably 1.5 stars. So, yeah, new tag champs there for Raw in AJ Styles and Omos. Next, we had the match nobody wanted. Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon in a steel cage match. We all know what the steel cage was there for, so Shane McMahon could do some stupid, crazy thing that scares his family half to death and, you know, gets a pop out of the crowd. This was no, his thing this year was taking a huge bump off the top of the cell. Or excuse me, not the cell. This is not Hell in the Cell. This is just a steel cage. He took a big bump off the top of the steel cage. Nowhere near as impressive as that Hell in the Cell jump through the table that he did willingly instead of getting thrown off like Mankind did. I knew there was going to be Riker and Elias interference at the very beginning. It was actually one of the questions on the FanDuel or whatever it's called, DraftKings. It was on the DraftKings WrestleMania pool, was whether or not Riker and Elias would get involved. Of course they will. They've been involved in the whole damn storyline. Shane McMahon pretty much calling Braun a big dumb idiot and Braun acting like he's getting bullied with his size by a McMahon. Stupid. Never should have been on the card. They could have found something better for Braun to do. This Shane McMahon bullshit of getting on the WrestleMania card every year, it's just getting old. I'm still pissed that he beat Miz that year. They had something going with Miz, and they just totally derailed him. You know, Shane's bump off the top of the steel cage. Like I said, it was just tame for who the guy is. It wasn't anything spectacular. Braun breaking the side of the cage, it was. I'll say it was creative for sure. I think it was definitely creative. But, man, when you have a guy that should be as far up the card as Braun, but that isn't, and is barely being used, you got to wonder what's going on. The guy can move. You know, they felt good enough to put the title on him last year. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with him. Maybe he was one of the guys that got sent back to the Performance Center to work on their big guy stuff. I have no idea. But anyway, Braun won it with a power slam. It was very bad. I'll give it 1 star because they showed up and tried to do their thing. I should take 0.5 star away, though, because Shane McMahon was in the match, and Shane McMahon hasn't been cool since, 2003, I want to say? We got the announcement that WrestleMania is going to be going back to AT&T Stadium in Dallas next year, so that'll be fun. Hopefully, we actually get a really good WrestleMania in front of a full house at AT&T Stadium at Jerry World. We'll see, though. I'm sure I'm hoping COVID's done by then and we can start having full attendance at venues by then. Okay, the next match. A lot of people said they liked it. I did not have high hopes for this match going into it. Sorry, my dog just sneezed. It was Bad Bunny, the Latin singer, and Damian Priest, the former Punishment Martinez, versus John Morrison and The Miz. Bad Bunny's been around since Royal Rumble, had that performance, jumping off the top rope onto Miz and Morrison at the Rumble, kind of kickstarted this whole thing. We thought we were going to get just Miz versus Bad Bunny. It didn't happen that way. Because originally the plan was to have this match like we got it. And then all of a sudden they were saying, no, just Miz versus Bad Bunny. And then I think WWE was like, whoa, this probably isn't a good idea. We should have Damian Priest and John Morrison be in the match as well. So, anyway, let's get into the match. I thought Bad Bunny did awesome. I am not a Bad Bunny fan, but he had probably the second best celebrity appearance in a wrestling match of all time, and the best is still Pat McAfee. Pat, you are the man. I wish that they wouldn't have thrown Morrison and Miz into this match, but one of my buddies I was talking to about it. He pretty much said they're the only ones that could have made it work, and maybe they are. Maybe the only ones that could make that work. Bad Bunny hitting that. I'll always call it the Canadian Destroyer, so we're going to call it the Canadian Destroyer. Hit the Canadian Destroyer on Morrison on the outside, and then hit that assisted cross body block off the top rope to beat Miz. Thought it was kind of a weak finisher, but I mean, whatever. But Bad Bunny went out there and did what they asked him to do and what he wanted to do, and can't fault the guy for that. I think he did a fantastic job. Morrison and The Miz sold well for him. God bless them. Morrison and Miz deserve more, though. They need to see a run with the tag titles on Raw at some point. Anyway, I am going to give that match... I'll give it 3.5 stars. 3.5 is, I think, is fair for what it was. I don't think a celebrity match should ever be... you know, has any right being over 3 stars, except for the McAfee Adam Cole match and the War Games match, which I thought were both over 4 stars. So if you don't agree, sue me. I'm sure we'll talk about Pat McAfee more in the future. So on the main event for night 1, we had Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, Sasha defending her SmackDown Women's Championship. I thought this should have been the match before the last match. Sasha and Bianca had a great build as tag team partners that hate each other to this match. Man, what a women's classic for WrestleMania, though. They absolutely went out there and killed it. You know, the whip, I got to start with this, the whip of the hair that Bianca threw towards the end of that match. Holy smokes. That was so loud. And if you saw Sasha's body after the match, I mean, it left some marks on her. I thought that was just a great touch. But I mean, Sasha went out there, she did her normal thing. And then, you know, Bianca got her moment, got her WrestleMania moment, you know, in her, pretty sure it's her first WrestleMania. I don't think she was in the women's battle royals at all ever. but she got her moment after winning the Royal Rumble. Wasn't overly long, about a little over 17 minutes. So, yeah, I think it was a fantastic match. We'll see where both go from there. I gave it 4.5 stars. Best match of the night, of night one. So, yeah. That was night one of WrestleMania. So this being my first podcast on here, I have just been informed via a notification here that the maximum recording time for each episode can be no more than 60 minutes. So I've only gotten through one damn show and I'm 45 minutes in. So what I will be doing instead is splitting these up, apparently. Hopefully not going to make this next one or the next review or the next show I review as long so we can get a couple of these in. I had no idea I had a limit on this. So it'll be a little weird, but hey, that's what first runs are for. Get the stuff out of the way and go to the next one. So with that, I'm going to end this episode. And I hope that you all enjoyed listening so far. There will probably be one, maybe two more episodes after this. Just depends on how much I get going into this. So they should be posted around the same time. So thank you for listening to episode one. I'm going to call it episode 1A today of Wrestling Talk 102 with Phil Stevens. And we will see you in episode 1B.